Okay, so we're holding here the Yesod HaChamishi finally, which means we're moving along. Okay, Yesod HaChamishi, and in the truth of all the Yesodos, Yesod HaChamishi is probably the most relevant.
These were from last time.
I
just mixed them together.
Okay, so of all of the Ikrim, this one is probably the most relevant Lemais in a certain sense, because it is clearly designated as Lemaisa. The other ones are beliefs, and they don't actually have a very clear Lemaisa, but this one actually has a clear Lemaisa. Voyesoid Chamishi. Shehu Yisparach hu ro'uy le'ovdoi ulegadloi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that's worthy of worship, praising, lahudia gdulaso, to tell others the praise, velasos mitzvosov, and to do his commandments. So really, in a certain sense, this Iker packages all the practical aspects of Torah. All the other Ikrim are beliefs in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Achdus and so on, in Kadmus, Nevuah, their beliefs about the Torah. This is actually is the only one that's worthy of worship and doing what he commanded. One point. Point two. V'lo yasu kaze
l'mishu tachto b'metzius. And this is not understood in the mail from his Nevi'ahs, from his Kadmus.
Well, I'll tell you what it's coming to eliminate. The Levada was the crucial point. In other words, that we're obligated to Hashem, yes, that's all sort of corollaries of the other ones, but the exclusivity of only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's this Iker. So one might have assumed, and we'll see in a second.
That's different than Yechidi?
Yechidi means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one, but on the practical level, is one allowed to be Mesiaches to the other elements? The Rambam in Avodah Zarah says that's where it started, because people made an argument that went as follows. God is one, the only, unique, 100% correct. But he's made Malachim, and he said these are very important Nivroim. Yeah, he's made the sun, the moon. It is a form of appropriate worship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like if somebody comes to you and he comes with a letter as a special shliach from the president. The president's personal shliach to you. So if you dishonor him, you're in effect dishonoring the president or whoever sent him. So one might draw a conclusion that it's appropriate to worship other entities. That's really that's the point of this one.
But it's also the last assessment itself is dependent on the previous Ikrim. It's the Kadmus. The problem of Kadmus is that it takes away the shlita, so it takes away the necessity to listen to mitzvah. Yehuda also, because if he's not yachid, then you have the
correct. Okay, that's also for, that's for attention. That's also we mentioned that point when we spoke about why it's important. Just one second, when we spoke why it's important that HaKadosh Baruch Hu be the one, it's because to be able to obligate somebody morally, I need to be able to say this is the absolute standard. If the different shittas and what's right and wrong by beings that are equivalent or not one or the other, mechates I go with this, I go the other way. What were you saying? I'm sorry.
The lahudia is to other people.
Yes. No, to proclaim to others.
So therefore, that also is a new dimension. We don't have.
Correct. It's inherent in the sense, I guess it's logically inherent in the fact, if the only thing in the world that exists is God, then praising anything else is really, really not emes.
So not praising is another option. In other words, it seems from here that if you're not in Kiryas,
but that's not, no, he's focusing, this Yesod is not the Yesod that one needs to praise or worship. I don't think that's an Ikrei Emunah. That's part of Torah. This Iker is that you can't do any of these activities to anyone else. The Isser of Avodah Zarah is really what this is. This is the Issa Avodah Zarah. In other words, it's more not... If somebody, you know, if somebody doesn't do mitzvahs because he's kind of lazy and doesn't, you know, doesn't have cheshik, as opposed to someone who does the mitzvahs of Christianity, or he doesn't do mitzvahs because some other being commanded not to do mitzvahs, it's two worlds. This ikar is to exclude Avodah Zarah in its every manifestation. Sorry, to what?
Chassidus.
That's a very later interpretation.
Meaning the mitzvah of Avos Hashem is what I was asking before. The mitzvah of Avos Hashem
is not it.
That's not it.
No. It's not one of the Gimelikrim. It's a mitzvah in the Torah of Ahavta Hashem Lekecha. Or Li'ava. V'loyasik is a lemishu tachta v'metzius. You cannot do it to anyone who's under Kadosh Baruch Hu, such as Malachim, Kochavim, Galgalim, Yesodos, Umasha Hurkav Mehem, or anything that is a composition of the basic elements. Now, the Rambam gives a logical reason for this. And in other words, the Rambam is going to say an explanation. Lefi Shekula Mutboim Al Pe'ulasam. Now, the nice thing about this is that it's a translation of Arabic into Middle Age Hebrew. It's misleading for anybody with a modern ear. The word mutba is really a brand of construction of Ibn Tibbon, meaning they are forced by their nature to do what they do. Today in modern Ivrit, mutba would mean cast. It's like a matbea is something that's been stamped. Mutba, I haven't heard that construction, but the Tekuli construction would mean something that's been stamped or minted. It wouldn't quite, I mean, you know, by long stretch.
Hardwired.
What? But that's what it means. It means it's got no choice. Lefi shekulam mutba'im al pulasam, they all are hardwired, like you said, to do what they're doing. Ein mishpat v'loy bechir lehem. They don't have the decision-making process, nor the free will, elalo levad Hashem Yisparach, except for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, two or three things. First of all, he's saying that he's explaining the reason not to worship the others is because they're really devoid of worship. How can you tell, how can you compliment or praise something that's basically doing what it's been wired to do? It's not a decision of its own, and it's not a decision not in terms of the mind and not in terms of the heart. So Rama kind of gives us a reason that is a logical reason why this would be wrong.
They're not the source, they're the conduit.
Right. Right. So a few things fall out of this. First of all, this should apply across the board to Goyim as well. I mean, we're talking about the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only thing, by definition, that's worthy of praise. So where is there something else that one could praise? It would be mashma that this surprise. There's no reason. There's no way we could distinguish between Jews and goyim. It's a din in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not a din in the worshipper. Secondly, the Rambam himself, Emor Nevuchim, which our host told me doesn't have. He doesn't keep such farm around the house, and you know you're waiting for that. And the Rambam Nevuchim and the Rambam in Yesod HaTorah and Nechasavos Kochavim seems to make that same point. He says, it doesn't make that point. He says differently. He says, it's a slippery slope to go from giving something covet as an adjunct into become Avodah Zarah. I don't know if I think we might have read it, but we'll just go over briefly again. The Rambam beginning of Hilchos Avodas Kochavim is troubled. The first parak in Hilchos Avodas Kochavim is, how is it that smart people a few generations after Hashem was the only show in town, it just went off to Avodah Zarah. I mean, other generations spoke to Hashem. He knew of nothing else. He was pure, great. Who was the guy that made, So he says it started with Enosh, and Enosh, it was a progression. His first mistake was, he said, being that these are emissaries and messengers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is most appropriate to give them also covet. So if somebody comes in and he tells you he's the Rebbe's Gabbai, he's the president's personal emissary, he's this, he's that. So it is of the covet to the one to give to him also. And therefore they said, we need to be mechabed them. And he says, and this was the mistake that was a slippery slope. And then they said, okay, once we mechabed them, let's make it very official. Let's build a little temple for them. Let's do some. Let's throw them a birthday party or two. What?
I don't know if you discussed this. So what did Enosh see that the previous generation didn't see? What was his motivation for doing that?
So it's interesting. The Rambam says, "Bimei Enosh Tov Ne Adam Tos Dolo V'Nivara Tzaschach Motzatot." Okay, foolish. V'Ne Atzatot. Now, in every avera that's in the Torah, so everyone who's gone to yeshiva, any yeshiva, we get the following message: Chas Hashem, they did averas, they learned pshat wrong in the Rambam, and so on. As young Bachman, I had a chavah of mine who was learning me yeshiva. And he was telling me, like, sort of as a poking a little fun of Shmuel Berman, I was a shmuz. I mean, Shmuel Berman was the world's master, and the only thing he really was important was Asmod, the entire. So he said, well, the shmuz Friday was that the brothers of Yosef and the machlokas of Yosef's brothers was the machlokas of the Ktsais and the Sivis in Hilchas Shomer. And the bottom line is that there's no excuse for not come Friday for Seder. That was the way he put it. But the idea that there was a toast in Pshat and in Shita is become. Now, I mean, I don't believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes people for learning wrong Pshat the Rambam. As bad as it is to learn wrong Pshat, for making a mistake, there are no punishments, and you're not called Ova Avera. So even, you know, the answer, the right pshat is as follows. And it's very important to stay away from both ends, because both ends don't make any sense. You have sort of the modern, quote-unquote, approaches of where the others are. I told somebody, I'm very annoyed at Kadosh Baruch Hu, because the others were terrible people. I never did half that various. They didn't. No mention of me is made in Tanakh. I said, Yaakov did this terrible, and Yosef was that terrible. I understand something. If it was so terrible, why are they such great people? Why is Kadosh Baruch Hu calling himself Yisrael? You know, and put his name on Yisrael. And why is David HaMelech? The answer is as follows. An aveir is only when you had a motive to do wrong. The Avos HaOlam means everyone, were giants, that it was unthinkable they could do an Avera unless they could rationalize it tremendously. So Lamashal, a person himself who is a half bar das would never do something, I don't know, would never do something that was absolutely dangerous, 100%. Okay. But if something that's borderline and I can rationalize it next, explain myself why it won't affect me, this and that, I'll do that. Yosef and the brothers, Yosef's brothers had some very strong tightness against him. There was no reason in the world that he should be Melech. There is a concept of Malchus Klal Yisrael. Somebody who runs around claiming he's a Melech when he's not is a Mord B'Malchus. And he deserves to die. And you're allowed to kill him. And for the sake of public order, at times you must kill him. The brothers held to be a Rodef. He's somebody who's grabbing the power of a client's soul leisure when he doesn't deserve it. He has these dreams and these fantasies and so on and so forth. Now, the Torah does point out that they were jealous. And the Torah says the rationalizations were good and they were strong. And the Mishnah has a whole chibur explaining what all the Lishitasa is. The line of thinking was there. But the Torah's megala underneath it was a kinna. So it's important to bear that in mind. The Torah wants us to learn. The Gemara says because we should learn never to differentiate between kids and give one more because of a little bit cloth. Everybody, we got sold into Mitzrayim and everybody went to Golos and so on and so forth. Chazal point out that it was jealousy, and it's clear. But the jealousy of us when we're grabbing a toy from a kid could not have passed muster with Avos Olam. They had weighty ways of logic. So here also, my sense is that it was difficult to the belief in one God and one God only is means that there's no way out. If there's only one shul in town with one rav, not good. There's another shtiebel, nobody knows if he came davening or not, because I can always run to the shtiebel that has the shortest davening and the best kugel. You know, it's one God is not good. Once you start having alternative worships, it relieves you of that stress. So down deep, there must have been a certain cheshik to get out of that crushing old Malchus Shemayim. But the first step was a purportedly innocent step. So the Rambam says it that way. He describes the whole first perek. I think we went through it once, all about how it got started. The perek Sheni, the way in which he says it...
It wasn't a rotzen for his chadshus?
You know what? It has to be... It could be that. There has to be some motive that would fall under the category of Aveira. It could be they wanted something else. They got tired of it. I don't know.
Or just a will to add something to it. No, it's just to be another link in the chain.
So listen, at the end of the day, the first Yetzirah of man was Vi'isem Kelokim Yodea Tov Ra. The idea that there's a monopoly on Tov and Ra, which distinguishes me from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that at the end of the day, my knowledge of Tov Ra is only because I'm told this and this and this and this, is difficult for a person who wants to be independent. And a person is independent, except for that one nekuda, where he's dependent on Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's probably that's the Yetzirah of Mom Lahachis. Mom Lahachis is, when you start out with somebody who's going to pound you to pieces, when you start out with the hanor that you have in it is, you know, he might have beat me up, but I stood up to him. You know, there's a certain sense, and that's that was the first Yitzhar. So my assumption is it was along those lines. I can't, you know, that's the basic Yitzhar of a person. The Rambam, the way he starts it, says, "Iker atziva." This is paper. "Iker atziva v'rezara shelo lavod echad mikol abruim." The main tziva is not to worship anyone the bruim. Lo malach, lo galgal, lo kochav, lo echad marbi yesodos, lo echad mikol abruim. It rings very similar to this. And even though he knows that Hashem is Elokim, and he's doing it for the first reason of sort of adding Kvod Shemayim, so to speak, so he's over Avodah Zarah. So the type of it's mashma that everybody, and the Rambam learns the pasuk Chiluk Hashem Kol Amim. He says, Akash Baruch Hu allowed it to become in Hogoshal Olam, and but you're not allowed to give it any attention or any type of hisyachsus and so on. So the Rambam is mashma that this is across the board, both to Jews and the Goyim. Both logically, it's mashma like that. And also in the Allah, he takes the pasuk that we learn from Shechilikoy Hashem Kol Amim that the Mutar B'Shituv. He doesn't learn it like that. The Rashba is the big Bal Macholik in the Ram at this point. The Rashba and his Talmud Rabbeinu Bechaya in Dvarim, who says came out the same words. Now the Rashba, it's a famous Rashba. It's printed in two places. There's a sefer called Pirush Rashba, Chiddush Rashba on Agados Hashas, Pirush Agados. Which his derech is, you know, to learn up things as metaphors, Kabbalic metaphors, and so on. You see Rashba, the other side of Rashba. He was sort of being yearning for Kabbalah, like Rabbeinu Bechaya, and same similar. But they pegged on over here, a ksav yad, that was attached to it. It was a shaila of tshuvas. Shaza Chubis with the Dominican priest Raymond Martin, who lived in Barcelona at the same time. There's another place where it's printed the same way, but with a lot more arichos. I'm not quite sure. I didn't really go through all the fine print with the Casillas to figure out what's what. There's a sefer that's been reprinted. It's called Ma'amore Emuna of the Rajba. The Rajba has a bunch of arguments with Christians and Muslims. Not sure if they were voluntary, if they were just written, you know, or if they were forced, if they were written just kind of as a sefer to sort of tell people. But he goes back and forth, and so in his Maima Beis over there, there's almost a direct quote of this. I'm not sure. I didn't have the time to go through the Mavo and figure out what's going on. But it's the same. Basically, what he says over here is, he gives a mashal. He says that, he goes back and forth a lot of Christian arguments and so on and so forth. It seemed to have been the favorite Christian pastime was to find a local rabbi and to badger him. I mean it's, you get the sense, Rabban, the Rashba. By the way, I just to be fair, the Chachmei Provence, I mean, it's a stunning today. There's no way we can understand it today. But the Chachmei Provence, when they came out against the Ramos Mordechai very sharply and attacked it and so on and so forth, and there was this argument back and forth, they decided that the arbiter of whether or not the Rambam's Mordechai is kfira or good would be the local priests. And they gave it to them to make that decision. It's stunning. And they are condemned to burn. It's stunning what went on. We don't have an idea of how the relationships were. But Al Kaponim, he says over here like this. He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gives a mashal. It says if a king has a palace, and he tells his chosen ones that they're not allowed to worship anybody but the God, and he tells everyone else they can sort of worship everyone else. This is he basically says that everyone is allowed to continue worshiping other beings as long as they recognize them to be emissaries of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so on and so forth, like the first stage of Enosh. Mashenk and Klal Yisrael is different. They have to have a personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and for them it's wrong. And I guess you can sort of...
Wait a second. What was the first part of the sentence? Everybody else can worship the sun and the stars?
As Shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that first stage of which is what we would call Shittu, as a manifestation. In other words, you can worship it means in the sense, I look at God's handiwork, and if this is God's handiwork, then how appropriate it is to pay honor and homage to it. That's Mutta. So as long as they believe God is the force behind it, they can. And he gives...
That's the Unitarians.
What?
That's the Unitarians.
And, yeah. And that...
There's at most one God. I
mean, yes. Yes.
Because it's impossible for them to have a direct channel.
Yes. He seems to say that... He seems to say that the reason is because they couldn't do better than that. That's basically the way he says it. It's a little long, so it's very hard to pin down which is the most significant, but it seems as if, and he says, that's why no Navi ever accused other nations of worshiping Avodah Zarah, because they all hid under that facade of sort of, you know, it's all manifestations. I mean, it's like, I was trying once to figure out when they had this whole thing with the Shaitel stuff, whether that was also the mice. That's also where for Zara because the mice. You know, whether Hinduism is Avodah Zarah in that. Now, as a total outsider, I recognize, you know, I mean, Lahavdil, just like somebody who would be trying to figure out in Yiddishkeit what the halach is, and he had no idea what sefer to use and how one terms it. I didn't have much. I looked up Hinduism a little bit, so you know, they believe in trillions of Avodah Zarahs. But the more modern version is, someone actually told me, I once had a guest who, I don't remember what it was, and he said something along the lines of, it's a manifestation of divine spirit. So I don't know what the emphasis is, I don't know how the emes is determined, and I don't know what it means when they say this emes. We had a Japanese, 2 weeks ago, we had a couple, she's a Gyor, a Japanese, and I asked a little bit about the religions, and she said, officially most people are kind of atheistic, but they believe in thousands of Avodah Zarahs. Like every mountain and everything has its spirit, and down deep, they'll always make sure that the spirits are taken care of. She also told me something else fascinating. She said, despite the fact that everybody professes not to be religious, they actually have two religions. He says there's Shintos and Buddhists. He says, Bedarach Kal, you make the chasna by a Shinto person and the levaya by a Buddhist person. That's what he's telling me. That's the normal. I'm not sure what the milas are of each one. Not sure what the rites look like. That's some of the kids. But Valkapanim, so it's hard to know. But Valkapanim, as long as you believe, the Rashba's point is, the Rashba and Rabbeinu Bechai almost quotes it, as long as you believe that Hashem is the source of everything and the ultimate power, and everything else is a direct shluchim. And the main point is, like the Rambam says, in this is a very critical piece, the Rambam says they have no discretionary power nor decision-making process. So I assume if that piece fits in, the Rambam would also be good with it, because you know, that's the Rambam's point is. If as long as we don't think they have discretionary power, it's fine.
Is this the Ramban that says this by, you call it Dor B'chutz L'Eretz
K'mishen L'Elokei? Yes, that's his Yesod. It's a similar idea where he says, over there, it's a little different. There's a famous Ramban, he's quoted Ramban. The Gemara says, if you live in Chutz L'Eretz, it's as if you're being over the Zara. So he explains, he says it, Alehei Necher Ha'aretz, that in Eretz Yisrael, over there it means in Eretz Yisrael, the Hashkach is a lot more direct. In Chutz L'Eretz, it goes through different things. So the historical process in Chutz L'Eretz is it flows through normal channels, and you can sort of see a natural flow of events, and you don't see direct Yad Hashem. Mashenke in Eretz Yisrael, you see a direct Yad Hashem, and therefore you're living close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because things are much more immediate. The cause and effect of our various mitzvahs are much more sharply immediate. That's, so Ramban speaks about that seems to be the part of it. I don't have, any, I can't figure out more. I mean, that's the Ramban's words are short. He says it. Now, I'm not sure also, here when I saw it, you're never sure when you read these type of things, whether he said it because he knew his customers, the Galach, and he needed to come up with answers for him. He couldn't be in a position telling the Galach that we think you people are idol worshippers, because that wouldn't be good. You never know. In other words, you can't take these things. There's a sefer somebody put together called Otsa HaVikuchim. This fellow was Eisenstein. He was a very interesting person. He lived to kind of turn of the century. He was a man of letters and collected stuff and wrote all sorts of odds. And he was like a from a maskal type person. And he put together obscure midrashim, and he put together Pirushim Nagadas, and he put together an encyclopedia, which is actually very useful. It has like a one-man show type of thing, but it's good actually. Stuff is so he has a safe where he collected all these obscure vikuchim that Rishonim had with Galachim, and he puts it in whatchamacallit, into a sefer. But the problem is, you might learn what to answer, but you're not sure if you can build hashkafa on it, because maybe this was just, you know, it wasn't a very fair vikuach. So he couldn't tell him we consider you Avodah Zarah, because if that's true, then all of the terrible things about Avodah Zarah applies. Not a good matzav. So I don't know, but he says it.
Because why? What was that last thing?
He could throw him out. He could kill him. I don't know. I'm not sure. But the Rashba was quoted by the Rabbeinu Bechaya, who didn't need to bring this thing down, and it does seem to say so many Rishonim do learn like that, but the Rambam doesn't give us a passive for that.
Well, you said that there's a chilah between the Rambam and the Moria and the Yad and the Rambam over here, but these are the Ikrim. That in the Yudgim Ikrim, if a person understands that there's a chilah between this entity being a non-Baal B'chiyah, and then Kodesh Baruch Hu created, controls it, and serving that, that's not an ikar problem. I mean, if a person approaches a malach, a star, a sun, and says, I recognize you're an emissary of the Ribbono Shel Olam, but I'm still going to worship you. So over there, he wouldn't be stumbling on one of the ikri emunah, but he'd be over a halacha, because the halacha says you're not supposed to do that.
Right.
But on the ikrim, he recognizes. Meaning, I can't hear that if a person recognizes that everything's
for the... If a person recognizes the emes, but he's worshiping Avodah Zarah because it's convenient, he needed to go down to church because socially it was accepted. You know, so that's something that it's also with Yarek Valyavar, it's Chayv Misa. He wasn't over one at Ikrim, but I don't know.
The term over doesn't apply by Ikrim.
He's saying, but this is a fundamental about the religious, it's a fundamental in terms of Torah that Avoda is only HaKadosh Baruch Hu's domain. It doesn't belong anyplace else. But then the Rambam explains it because it's inherently like that. You can't praise a malach for being so great and fantastic and doing such wonderful things. He'd done none of it. It's all programmed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's all powers endowed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah.
I'm not chapping. Isn't that what the Rambam's saying here, that it is an ikar problem?
He's saying it's a problem in ikrim.
It is a problem with the ikrim if a person goes.
No, so he's saying if the person doesn't believe it, or a person doesn't believe different. I think that's a question.
In the yad. So the Rambam says it's a slippery slope. You made a mistake in practice, and then it led to the whole thing going off. So I can't imagine that an ikar is to prevent the slippery slope. Right? I mean that an ikar is a fundamental problem. They did something that's be'etzem off.
Right.
So if a person did something that's not be'etzem off, but it could lead to something worse, I can't imagine that would make the list.
So he's making a good point. In other words, if it's only if we're to take the Rambam to mean that the problem of this type of worship. Okay, but I don't know. I'll go back and forth because
the issue why it's nikkur is because it has to do with shlita. In other words, if the bria is there for you to do mitzvahs and get tzchar, like we'll talk about soon. Know. To the extent that you're davening to anything that's an emtsai between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's in the belief that it's because there's some shlita that emtsai has.
Okay,
and to distort, to improve, or to distract. So that's the problem.
But then his point is correct that it's not a slippery slope. You're saying in fact, if the minute you bend your knees to some other, there's an expression of service. Even though a personal marshal will salute the American flag. So what he means to be doing is saluting the American nation, the American ideal, or whatever it is. It's not the piece of cloth; it's a representation of something. So a person could say this particular sun or whatever is represents a Kaddish Baruch Hu. I don't know. I'm not sure. There's a gap here. I'm not sure. And just let me point out two things. It's getting late. I just want to point out two more things that we'll spend some time on. One thing over here is. The Rambam says that the reason why we can't worship angels, because they have no bechira whatsoever, no chachma of their own, no initiative, and therefore, what's the point of it? Well, there are all sorts of mamari chazal that seem to indicate that angels do have some bechira. Would it be appropriate? And you know, there are a whole bunch of shittas to the guy to go through it, because this is a place to go through some of it a little bit. A ton has been written. There are gemaras that certainly sound like it has, but we need to know malachim comment as a big question. A second piece here that's really very interesting is the Rambam here does not mention tefillah at all. If you take a look at the animaimin in the Siddur, it says lo levade ro lispalel. Velo levado royalist palal or velo royalist palavado, the two gifsos. Lisa, you don't have to correct us. So first of all, like we said, it's not clear exactly who made Danny Maimon's in the Siddur. The reason why he must have changed it is it's quite simple that, Bismanazeh, we don't have carbonis, we don't have anything else really. So tefillah is the most significant, important thing. And that's really where the Koyim do it. So you can say tefillah is simply a reformulation of the Rambam, of Avoda, and move it over to tefillah, which is fair. There's also a mefurish, there's a Yerushalmi, that says, Chol Koreinu Elov, that you call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it says, Elov, v'lo l'michoel, v'lo l'gavril, I think it says, you can't call to any other malach and beseech him. Which opens up a huge box of questions. There are all sorts of tefillahs in different places that it's mashma that we do speak to malachim. So mele, piyutim and stuff like that, that's okay, you know, whoever made the piyutim, and we can talk about that. But there's a Gemara, actually, there's a tefillah that we don't say, but the Gemara brings a tefillah, hiskabdu malachim, that every person has malachim that go with him, walk with him. When you come to the bathroom, there's an issue, what do you do? So you tell the malachim, Rabbi Isai, you wait outside, and when I come out, I'll come. So it says we shouldn't say it, because it's presumptuous to think we have malachim with us. So it's an issue of covet. But the idea of talking to them, and it says, I've got the Eisfir, the Lashon there, there's a Lashon of tefillah there. So it needs some sort of... So I'd like to talk a little bit about it and discuss it, because this is the place where it comes in. It was what constitutes avodah to something other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Shalom Aleichem is a halbat sarah. Baruchuni l'shalom is the real problem. Then there's the pasuk Hamalach Hagolusim Kolo Yevarach Asanarim Bikom Shem Shem Avosai. We should not speak about it, but the pasuk sounds like it. Hishtachavo to a malach. So like this, there's a to be mishtachav to a person. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says mefurish. I'm allowed to be mishtachav to a person. In other words, a king, a person, if the etiquette is to bow to the king, one can. All the Tanakh is people are constantly bowing in and out of David HaMelech. I mean, no two ways about it. But it says if the king has deified himself, such as Haman, then it becomes an Avodah Zarah and it's Aser. So, but what about a Malach? A Malach, you shouldn't be allowed to bow. Yeshua bowed down to the Malach. It says the Malach came to him and he bowed to him and he said, you know, well, what are you doing here, and so on and so forth. So how do you understand that ishtachava? So those are interesting points to talk about a little bit, and next time we'll deal with some of those issues. Let's just finish, I think, right on the line here. V'chein ein roi le'avdom k'dei li'yosem em tzoyim le'karav eilav. You can't ask them to be middlemen. Ela eila b'lvad yichavna machshavos. Only Takarish Baruch Hu can you v'yanichu kol mashazulaso. Now, we also have tefillahs that have a nusach like that. You know, come to the kisa kavod. What about to be mispal to mesim? What? You mispal to mesim by every levi. You say, and you should be a male association, you should be a male association, and so forth. Can you do that? V'zer yisar hachamishu shehizeh al avodas alilim v'rov ha-Torah maserasot. This is Rambam Shita. All of Torah is about the Rambam Mornavuchim, when he explains the reasons for the mitzvahs, almost every mitzvah is about Avodah Zarah. It's basically, everything comes home, similar to what the Gemara says, that imidan alacha tzadik b'emunaso yichya, everything comes down to a belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being everything. And all the averis and the chukim especially, are sort of, most of them deal with things that of the Avodah Zarah to do, whether the haircut, whether this, whether that, the other thing. So this Rambam sort of goes very much l'shitos about this. Okay.